Today's scripture reading will be taken from John chapter 16, verse 33. Once again, John chapter 16, verse 33. When you found it, please say amen. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Happy Sabbath. How many are not happy to be here today? Oh, you're not happy to be here today? All right, how many are happy to be here today? Oh, beautiful. It's good to see all of you today in the house of the Lord. We will pray and then we will read the word of God. Let's pray. Our loving Father who art in heaven, thank you so much for giving us this chance to be here today. We request that you be with us, Father. Take care of us, keep us safe from the evil one, Father. Speak to us, be with us, abide with us. Till the end of it all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I speak, someone please help me by saying a prayer for me in your heart. So when we were growing up, me and my friends, back in Nairobi, a long, long time ago, there is nothing that we loved than going to church every Sabbath. And we go to school from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The highlight of it all will be Friday because we know Sabbath is coming. And why? Part of that is because every Friday our parents would make something pretty special that never used to make during the week, and we call these things chapati. Now chapati is just some dough you mix it with some salt and sugar and water, and then you kind of use your hands to do some fisting over there. It's a round thing. It looks like a tortilla, and so things are delicious, are still delicious even now. And so every Sabbath day, the potluck, you see those beautiful chapatis. Oh, Sabbaths used to be beautiful. And my friends, we go to church early in the morning. We love to recite the Bible. From John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Beautiful. Every Sabbath. I remember we were so deep in Christ and in Jesus. The school that we were attending, it was affiliated to a Sunday church. And so every Friday in the morning we'd go for a mass or a Sabbath. But because we were Adventists and we felt like, we don't want to go to a mass or something. We were young, we never knew. But we say, no, we're not going. That's not what we were taught. And we refused to go to the mass. And the school head teacher came and said, oh, you're the ones who refuse to go to the mass? Then we have no option than to send you home. And we said, all right, if you're sending us home because we didn't go to the mass, that's all right. And for the first time in our lives, we felt like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego somehow, I don't know. And we grew up loving God. We grew up knowing that God is able in every situation. We grew up with love in our hearts. We saw the world as such a beautiful place. Well, little did we know there's something called growing up. And you get to learn good and evil. We were baptized. I was baptized, and I was like, think, class 5, that's equivalent to grade 5. I was like, very young. But after school, things started to change. Me and my friends, we grew up loving Jesus. But some went to high school. After that, they went to college. And things started changing. Some used to come to church early, but now, after college, they come to church at 11 a.m. They leave immediately after the service. I remember majority of my friends in college, they became parents. And they never returned to church again. We started getting exposed to the real world that we never knew of when we were growing up. Strange things started to happen. I remember there was a family that had twins, and they were like brothers to me. And I remember they were worshiping on Sundays, and because of the love that we had, they were pulled into our church. But these twins, one of the twins, got into drugs. And I remember his mom texting me at some point. I was sleeping in my bed early in the morning. I saw a text. And the mom said, Joe, my son is no more. I was like, God, we grew up together. He's no more. And I remember when I went to console the other twin, it was heartbreaking. We started getting exposed to a world that we never knew before. The beautiful world that we knew, it came to us and it dawned on us. It's not the same world that we knew. So you put the world here and the events that are happening and Jesus here, and you wonder, Jesus, are you still in control? So many things happen, and so many things happen, and the perspectives of us when we were growing up, it changed completely. And some of my friends, they never returned to church. There's a couple in the Bible. The Bible describes this couple as a righteous couple. A couple that lived a holy life. Their lives was like a star in a dark world. And so at some point, this couple is none other than Zechariah and Elizabeth. And they were living in Judea. And so Zechariah was a high priest. And so he went all the way to Jerusalem to perform the work of a priest. He went there for a week. And when he was at the golden altar, his mind came to him. And his consciousness came and alerted him and told him, you're in divine presence. And there, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Angel Gabriel. Now, what did Angel Gabriel told him? Let's read the book of Luke, chapter 1. If you have your Bible, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we will read from verse 11. Let's see what the angel told Zechariah. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Verse 15, For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. 16, And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready our people prepared for the Lord. Now look, so the angel comes, it's Angel Gabriel, sent, you know, by God, comes to Zechariah. Now Zechariah is over there fearing. He starts by calming him down, tells him, fear not, your prayers have been answered. And so after the angel gave him the message, Zechariah's human weakness came unto him. What did he say? Verse 18, And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife, well stricken in years. Zechariah remembered Abraham somehow, but human weakness came in the way. And he asked, We are old. How can we get a baby? We are well stricken in years. Now look at Gabriel's response. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. After Zechariah, you know, tried to, you know, counter that by saying, I'm weakness. We can't be. We are old. How can you go against nature and give us a child when we are at this age? Now the angel of the Lord told him, I am Gabriel. That means, Zechariah, do you know who you're talking to? I am Gabriel. And he didn't stop there. He said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. You know, if you go to the book of Daniel chapter 10, when Daniel was struggling with visions, and his strength failed. And Angel Gabriel was the one who was sent by God to come and interpret the visions into him. And, of course, King of Persia kind of blocked him until Gabriel had to get help from Michael. That's Jesus. And Gabriel, being the highest angel in heaven, came and told Daniel, listen, what I'm about to tell you, it's only me and Michael, meaning Jesus, who know. So Gabriel, he's such a powerful angel. And so he tells Zechariah, you and your wife, I know you're old, but you're going to get a baby. And tells him, look, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of the Lord. Zechariah, because of that, he said, because of your unbelief, from now you're not talking till the birth of your son. And so the scripture goes on and on until it takes us to the same Gabriel coming to announce, giving Mary the good news about she has been chosen to give birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus. And somehow, Elizabeth and Mary, the Bible says they were cousins, if you continue reading that particular chapter. And so it came to pass that John was born. John the Baptist was born. And why was John the Baptist born? He was born for a specific purpose, to prepare a way for the Messiah. John the Baptist grew in the desert. And why so? It's because God did not want him to, you know, Zechariah was a priest, and so according to the culture, of course, he could have been trained to become a priest too. But God separated him, took him to the wilderness where that was his school and his sanctuary, because God wanted to have time with him. And he separated him from the world. And you realize when God wants to deal with you properly, he separates you first. He separates you completely. And so he was separated from the world, and wilderness was where he used to dwell, because God didn't want him to go to the schools to be taught how to interpret the scriptures by the theologians. And so from there, we want to go and see John's baptism of Jesus. Now, Jesus is born, and John is still doing the ministry, preaching and telling people to repent. For he made a way for the Messiah. And this John knew he was preaching about Jesus. Let's go to Luke chapter 3, verse 15. Luke chapter 3, verse 15. Luke 3, 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. Because of John's powerful ministry, people confused him with Jesus, the Messiah. And we see here, John answered, verse 16, unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Verse 18, and many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people, but Herod the tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother, Philip's wife. Well, this goes on and on to say about his arrest and being taken to prison. But over here, we see John himself acknowledging and saying, look, I am not Jesus. Jesus will come. And this Jesus who I'm telling you about, I can't even lose it, you know, the latchet of his shoes. John the Baptist confessed that with his mouth. I want you to notice that he confessed that he knew it, that he was not the Messiah, and he knew that there was a Messiah who was coming. And so you go to the verse 21 where we see John's baptism of Jesus. The same, Luke 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, and in thee I am well pleased. John the Baptist confesses with his mouth that there's a Messiah coming. He said, I am not the Messiah. Now Jesus comes, he baptizes him, and John hears a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's a beautiful story, but takes a turn when he goes to prison. That's when everything changes. Like, we grew, with my friends, we grew up knowing very well that Jesus is one, the one and only Jesus is so good. We were not exposed to the realities of the world. So we know the story, John taken to prison. And he started doubting. And his doubts came in. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. John 7 from 19. It says, if Luke 7:19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? This is quite shocking, because John is the one who baptized Jesus, and he heard the voice from heaven saying, This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And John himself confessed with his mouth and said, There's a Messiah coming, and I am not fit to even being compared to him. But now he's in prison, the toughest place of his life, and the doubt started coming in. The powerful John. Other people thought he was Elias because he was a powerful prophet. But he sent his disciples and said, Hey, go to Jesus and ask him, are you the one, or should we look for another? You know, sometimes it's very hard when you've been strong in faith and things happen in your life and you start questioning who God is. And I do that a lot. When life gets really hard, when life gets tough, and start questioning. I knew that I was told that God is powerful, He's love, He can do anything. But my question in my mind is always, God, why did you allow this and that to happen? If God, you live and you love me, why did you allow this to happen? There's a story about it. There's a lady. I once went to her house. She has a son, and this son is in his 40s. But this son he became a drunkard when he was 20. He has been a drunkard for over 20 years. And I remember one day he came to the house, and he was heavily drunk, and he came and started cursing everybody there. And I look at that lady as tears roll down her cheeks. She's a lady who was a very strong lady in church, who believed in God and loved God so much. I saw her as she asked, God, why did you give me this son? It was tough for her to see her son. She brought up a son in church, taught him the ways of Christ. But now here he is in a tough situation. Why did you give this man to me? I'm trying to say, you know, God, you made a mistake. I don't deserve this. But you know, some things that happen in life, we will never understand them until we get to heaven. Sometimes maybe it's your spouse and you have a hard time coping at home. But when you come to the public, everything is hunky-dory, everything is beautiful. But only you, inside, it's only you who knows what you're going through. There's so many things we go through that we cannot even open up to our friends. It's only us who know what we go through. And these moments that really get our attention, and they kind of drift us away from, you know, looking at the God we knew. Because the God that we know, I know God is a God of love. I don't know God is a God who, the song Brother Goring sang and said, God is too good to be unkind. Thank you for that. And it's true. God is so good to be unkind. But some situations in life happen and you ask, God, what just happened? My friend lost his dad. He was a good friend of mine. I called him, and we were talking, and I used to tease him to make him forget that his dad was sick. So one time I called him, and Colin was in the hospital. I called him and said, hello. His voice. The first word he said, I could hear his voice crack, and I said, oh. And I asked him, where are you? He told me, I'm in the hospital. Oh, what are you doing there? He told me, man, my dad just passed on. I didn't know what to say. It was tough. I look at that brother and I see his perspective about God. Then God, why did you have to take my dad away from me? We grew up knowing you're a God of love. And if you love me, then why? Why? So John got into this situation. He started doubting, and it was tough for him. And he sent his disciples to Jesus. Read with me. Continue that. John 7:20. It says, when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. So the disciples get to Jesus and ask him, hey, Jesus, excuse us, are you the one who, or should we wait for another one? They say, no, Jesus didn't go tell them, hey, I'm the one. Yeah, I'm the one. Can't you see that? If someone asks you, are you an Adventist? Well, what would you say? Oh, yeah, I am. The last meal of the day, I have it at 6 p.m. I'm a vegetarian. What do we do as Adventists? I read Ellen White 3 times a day. No, Jesus didn't do that. What he did, he said, he took them and showed them by actions. And this is what he says. Go your way and tell John. This is an assurance. Go tell him the things you have seen and heard. How the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. It's beautiful. And so Jesus felt the grief and the agony of John. And I know every day as we go through life's tribulations, Jesus feels us. Well, it might not feel like he feels us. Sometimes you might feel like you're going through all this by yourself, but Jesus feels you. Read with me in the book of Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15, and the Bible says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus went through what we go through every single day. When his friend died, what's the name of the man who died? And here, Lazarus, yeah. He was so touched, and when he saw people crying, and he touched him. And the Bible says Jesus wept. He touched him. Jesus feels us in everything that we go through. If you read the book of, I believe it's Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, God says, he that touches you touches God. Why? Because you are the apple of his eye. It might not feel like it, but the Bible calls us to have faith. And as we go through the life journey, we read John 16:33 that says, in this world we'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. As I wind up, there's a beautiful passage on book of Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Verse 4. Revelation 21, verse 4. says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Before we go to the new earth, you know, when God makes this earth anew, we'll go and stay with him. How many look forward to go to heaven? All right, it's beautiful. When we'll go to heaven with Jesus for 1,000 years, you know what we will be doing those 1,000 years? Now, this is where, if you have any question about your life, if you don't have any reason of going to heaven, I'll give you a reason right now. This is the reason right here. If you don't have any reason to go to heaven, look forward to go to heaven, because you will get a chance to ask God any question that bothers you right now that you cannot find an answer. And there's no way that God will allow us to go to the new earth with tears in our eyes. And that's why he says, "And God shall wipe away all the tears." When I read this, I remember that lady whose son was a drunkard, and she asked God, "Why did you give this son to me?" When she goes to heaven, she'll ask God, "God, why did you let this happen? I was a faithful lady in church. I used to sing for you. I used to lead service. Why?" And God will give her an answer. And the answer that God will give to her, she will be so satisfied and say, "Oh, if I was in your position, I could have done the same thing." Sometimes you go through tough things, tough challenges, and God knows it, for he promised to be there with you every day. But the thing is, he has promised you, when we get to heaven, I have so many questions to ask him. So many. For I know for sure he will have an answer for them. So he say, by and by, we will understand it better. But every day as we go through life, every day as you go through the week, this week, Jesus said you will find tribulations here and there. But you're not alone. God will go with you, and he will be with you. As we sing the last song, "Come the Fount of Every Blessing," the last song that it says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God of love. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it, for I court above." Because life sometimes throws us away, and we feel like we want to leave. I don't want to come to church sometimes. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Come, thou font of every blessing. God bless you, and happy Sabbath. Teach me, dear Lord, to love thy name. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your presence. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Father. Thank you for a beautiful service. If we have done something that was against your will, Father, please forgive us. Remember us as we walk out of this place. Be with us throughout the week and keep us safe from the evil one. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.